kindly get the apologies for today.
Recording in progress.
Yes, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to honorable members. Good morning to our guests. Chairperson, we received the following apologies. The Minister, Chairperson, is currently on official duty in Europe until the 21st of November. We also received an apology, Chair, from the Deputy Minister. The Deputy Minister is addressing the 2023 research colloquium on making TVET colleges institutions of choice. That event, Chairperson, is also being attended by the DG. However, the DG has allocated Ms. Gasa, the DDG for planning, to lead the DCT delegation. Chairperson, in terms of the members, we receive an apology from Honorable King as well as Honorable Ngobo. Those are the apologies, Chairperson, that we receive for the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anele. Okay, I also see that we have colleagues from the Department of Public Works, Advocate Suzanne. Can I check if Advocate Suzanne is on the platform? Okay, can I see who, if not Advocate Suzanne, who from the Department of Public Works is on the platform?
Chairperson? Yes, good morning, Chairperson. It's all right, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Nyeleti Makubele. I'm the DDG responsible for real estate management services within the Department of Public Works. I'm supposed to be joined by a few colleagues, but I don't see them on the platform. If the Chairperson can allow me 1 minute just to check where everybody is. Even the DG is supposed to be here. Perhaps there's something wrong with the link.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. In the meantime, we will start with the presentation from DHET, and that will be led by DDG Gasa. Just to remind colleagues, when the committee conducted its oversight visit at the beginning of the year in KZN, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, the issue around infrastructure for teaching and learning came up a lot. And the sentiment of the committee was that, well, perhaps one of the solutions that can be brought forth to address the issue of infrastructure for teaching and learning in the higher education sector could be the repurposing of public infrastructure. But there were also instances where CET colleges in particular, made us aware of infrastructure, even TVET, in fact, made us aware of infrastructure that they had wanted or that they have been requesting from Public Works that, you know, was really, we're processes were really stagnant. And most of the time we then called post our oversight visit in February. There was a lot, or not much, said to us actually in that initial meeting. And a common sentiment was that we need to resuscitate the task team that once existed between DHET and the Department of Public Works. And so we are really hoping that in this meeting today, we will get positive feedback around work that's been done by that task team, because, you know, firstly, we met early in the year and she had colleagues over the whole year to see what type of infrastructure can we really repurpose so that next year, you know, we're also able to expand our numbers. And if not expand our numbers in terms of enrollment in our TVETs and in our CETs, then at least we are able to place the students who we are currently able to take in better facilities because there's more space and so forth. So we're really hoping to hear progress. I mean, right now the focus of DHET should be preparing for the 2024 academic year. And infrastructure is a critical component in terms of our state of readiness going into the next year. And we are still going to have a committee meeting that looks into the state of readiness, where we will also want the departments to bring in NAFSAs, because that is something we are really concerned about currently, and even more so going into the start of the next academic year. So we are hoping that in this meeting, colleagues will be able to bring us into confidence around the resuscitation of that task team, the work it has done. But also, you know, the last time we met, the CET college and the CET program under Dirisi Futshane was able to really highlight infrastructure in a very simple way, but, you know, it made us understand what is happening. Infrastructure that DHET and its its institutions had requested from Public Works, maybe the regional offices or the provincial offices or whatever it is, and where that request was in terms of transfer, whether there was a response, whether it is in progress, whether there was no response, whether we actually ascertained that infrastructure. And that graph or that spreadsheet was really succinct. And so we're hoping that colleagues will also be able to do that for us today, not only in the CET program, but in all programs of the Department of Higher Education and Training. And there was an indication at that point in time that there wasn't a very succinct registry of infrastructure by Public Works, and that was due to a number of matters. And colleagues were honest to say, look, our inventory is not as succinct as it should be, and that doesn't afford us an opportunity to really be more efficient in transferring infrastructure that could assist in teaching and learning. And so I hope we are going to have positive feedback from colleagues, both in the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as those in the Department of Public Works. So that being said, I'd like to hand over to DDG Gasa, and then we'll hand over to colleagues from Public Works. DDG Gasa, you have 30 minutes to make your presentation. So it's now 9:07. So at 9:37, you will be required to have concluded your presentation. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, honorable members. I hope I am visible and audible. Thank you very much, honorable members. Good morning to honorable colleagues, and thank you very much for the opportunity to present to the portfolio committee on work as articulated by the honorable chair. Indeed, we are taking this opportunity to appraise honorable members on the work that we have done since we met early in the year. I would like to indicate that I will just make opening remarks in 5 minutes, and then hand over to Mr. Mlambo to take us through the presentation. And then, as part of usual portfolio committee processes, take questions together with Mr. Mlambo. With your permission, Chair, if I could please stop the video and then take you through the preliminary slides, and then hand over as I've indicated. So as the chair indicated, we have a mandate as a department to increase infrastructure in a manner that allows for students to have access to learning and education, and then primarily respond to the National Development Plan. In the work that the Portfolio Committee undertook earlier in the year, certainly the needs and the demands for infrastructure were found wanting across the PSET system for universities, for CET colleges, and for TVET infrastructure. And it also became very clear as we have all observed as the country, that student accommodation challenges were really quite high, and we needed to address those. One of the recommendations that we raised were the extent to which we as DHEDS needed to deliberate with Public Works and identify opportunities for unused sites that could be converted, and that we could work together as a team and formulate a strategy for addressing those unused properties for the purposes that have been aligned. In the presentation that will be tabled, we will seek to outline the plan that we have sought to address for universities and for TVET colleges and for CET. Upfront, Chairperson and Honorable members and fellow staff members, I want to raise three points before Mr. Mlambo cuts through. First, Chair, the work between us and Public Works has commenced, but as we will see through the presentation, Chair, we do need to ramp that up, because perhaps my objective assessment, and I know perhaps a Public Works will raise this, it has not been to the traction that it could have been, and there is room for improvement. Secondly, the issue that I would like to raise, yes, CET has made progress, and it is one of the sectors whereby we have made progress. We were able, Chair, to make that progress, yes, on the guidance provided by the Portfolio Committee, but as DHEDS, the progress we also made was looking at the fiscal allocation that we had, and the reprioritization of the budgets that we had, and we identified certain areas throughout the geographical location of our country, in KZN, in Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, and Mr. Mlambo will outline that accordingly. Thirdly, as Mr. Mlambo will present, there are TVET colleges that we have identified which are open also for transformation and transfers going forward. And we have got a table that will outline that for honorable members going forward. And then the last but not least, student accommodation, which speaks to the utilization of work that is not, of properties that are not being utilized, has been open to certain glitches that we are not comfortable with. We have shared that with yourself. For example, UJ and UKZN are facing challenges which you have in front of you, honorable members, but we have sought to mitigate for that. We are in discussions, for example, with the DBSA, which honorable members are aware of. We have advanced in our MOA with the DBSA, and we are at the cusp of signing a new memorandum of agreement that seeks to fast track the agreements that we have with them to ensure that this student housing infrastructure program gains the traction that we require. And part of that will be to innovate around the utilization of sites that have been lying idle. There is also the land matter, where we have learned through experience that it is about working with Public Works and also engaging municipalities in terms of land and the challenges that we face in this regard. Lastly, Chair, there is a program that we are working with that we have tabled in front of the Portfolio Committee around addressing the extent to which infrastructure sometimes it creates a vulnerability around gender-based violence and femicide. And working with Higher Health, we have put in place a number of programs that seek to ensure that we prevent the incidences of violence and femicide, and also we create and put in place initiatives for ensuring that when incidences have happened, we provide a safety net for students and lecturers to come through to us. Thank you, Chair. Let me hand over to Ms. Dembalo. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I see there is a hand.
Chairperson?
I'm not sure whether I should proceed before the hand is.
Chairperson?
Yes. Whose hand is that?
Good morning, Chairperson.
DPWI delegation. Colleagues, whose hand is
morning, Chairperson.
And whose mic is open?
Good morning, Chairperson. I am calling from the Department of Public Works. I just wanted to pass a message to the Chairperson if I'm granted the opportunity.
No, colleagues, you were not here when we started the meeting. So if there's anything you need to communicate, you can communicate that through the Secretariat. You can't interrupt the meeting. We started the meeting at 9. You were not here. Your colleague, Ms. Makubele, was here, the DDG responsible she indicated. But you can't. No. I can even open the mic.
That's fine. Thank you.
Just send a message to Anele and communicate what you need to communicate. If needs be, then just send something on the chat.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you.
Mr. Mlambo, you can continue with your presentation. And then Honorable Ifeanyi, Mr. Mlambo, before you continue. Honorable Ifeanyi, I saw your hand was up earlier on. Okay, I hope you're fine. All right, Mr. Mlambo, you can continue. And colleagues from Public Works, if there's anything you need to communicate, you can do so through Anele or through the chat. Thanks, Mr. Mlambo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to the Honorable Members and colleagues. In looking at the progress that we made, we're looking at the contents of introduction, and we look at the mandate and the administrative arrangements, the framework that we put together, the joint tax team, and the actual progress with the engagement and conclusion. If we can just go straight to the introduction, just to indicate that we are aware of the challenges that we face as the department, and the demands that the National Development Plan places on us in terms of expanding the precinct sector in 2030. And we, for example, now recognize that student accommodation and general academic infrastructure is critical in making sure that we expand access. But we also acknowledge that the limited resources and fiscal constraints cannot allow us to continue building, and we need to start the process where we repurpose existing buildings and make sure that we are able to address the demands as quickly as possible and using less resources as indicated in the constraints that we have. I think we also look at the constitution provision as a start, just to indicate that in as much as the basic education is a right, the further education and further education and training is offered to the citizens within the constraints that the government has in terms of available resources. We also just identify that the National Development Plan wants us to raise admissions to the enrollments to 5.4 million students by 2030. And that as indicated before, makes it quite important that we accelerate our delivery so that there's exponential growth in student numbers, 2.3 million rand to be exact in the next 7 years now. We also just look at the legal framework that guides us. I think we can just mention these four. Is Continuing Education and Training Act, the Higher Education Act, Intergovernment Relations Framework Act, and Government Immovable Asset Management Act. These are the ones which we think are critical in our relationship as we begin to engage with our sister department, Public Works. What we've then done in terms of administrative arrangements, just to identify, we thought in order for us to be able to guide the relationship in a proper way, we needed to develop a framework for donation, transfer, conversion, and lease of state buildings and land identified for student housing, academic and other educational purposes to post-school education training institutions. We also developed a draft memorandum of agreement and terms of reference. These documents we thought will assist us in going forward in our relationship. We also identified the issue of the joint task team between the two departments to manage the relationship so that it goes smoothly. So in terms of the framework in particular, there is a recognition that there is a great challenge of student accommodation and academic infrastructure, and that might impact negatively on the expansion and the provision of higher education and training. So it also seeks to formalize the relationship between the two departments as indicated. And in doing this, we also had then two work streams identified. One, working on student accommodation, which is focused on the identification of land, to advising and making recommendations, and facilitating the transfer of newly acquired provinces. The second work stream on investment decision it is focusing on the feasibility studies of state-owned vacant land, initiating the process of ownership and facilitating transfer of ownership and assess all cost implications, and assisting also with development plans of converting unused owned buildings, and to advise and make recommendations to the principals. So this is the basically what the framework is made up of. In terms of the joint task team, the joint task team was identified to be led by the Deputy Director General from both departments, and the chairing was going to be shared between the two departments. Apologies for the typo. And the JTT meetings were identified to take place on a quarterly basis, while the work streams, as indicated above, were supposed to take place on a monthly basis. Looking at the progress, Honorable Chair, I think I indicated the three documents that we've developed, that we shared with our colleagues from Public Works, and they are currently reviewing them with a view of making sure that we sign them as soon as possible. And in order to make sure that we also move from the March meeting, we also facilitated the meeting of the JTT, which it met in July 2023 on the 22nd. But because we recognize that the Deputy Director Generals may not necessarily work on day-to-day issues, the JTT then mandated the formation of the working committee, which then would compose of chief directors from both departments. And this working committee met on the 22nd of August, and that's when we started sharing documents related to sites that have been identified by different sectors within the department, CET, TVET in particular. And these were shared with the colleagues, although they were not necessarily exhaustive for the whole province, but it was a start because only four provinces had submitted the list in terms of CET at that point. And we shared this so that we are able to then coordinate our activities between ourselves and also our provincial departments to make sure that we proceed with speed. And the properties, the lists that have been shared are indicated in summary, particularly for CET. There's a list of, for Free State, there's a list of 12, Limpopo 49, Eastern Cape 21, and KZN 19, which have been identified by particular CET for use. We also shared the list of properties not registered in the name of the Tibet colleges. These are quite critical because for us to be able to expand and build on some of the sites, we need to make sure that we secure ownership. And these were also shared with the colleagues, indicating the provinces and how many sites, how many properties were there, and who actually hold ownership of those properties. I think at the end, we just want to identify, to indicate that we as a department have identified the property that could be used by Pearce institutions. And just to indicate that also that the Department of Public Works they assist us with resolving ad hoc and resolving all the ad hoc ownership issues related to PSET institution properties. I can just mention two where we dealt directly with the provincial Department of Public Works, as the DDG has indicated, Northern Cape for CET. We were able to identify a site and repurpose the old nursing home. And also in KZN, one site, school site, which the provincial department felt it could not use anymore for the construction of the CET colleges. But these are ad hoc arrangements, and our intention was to try and form a structured way in which we will relate to Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And the department is also working with some provincial education departments to identify some of the schools, closed schools. In particular, KZN has come forward and indicated to us which ones they will be closing for consideration by different institutions. We've also requested then from the Department of Public Works, then their own list on redundant properties so that we can align those properties with universities and other PSET institutions to see whether we can actually get interest from them and repurpose them for purposes of expanding the PS system. Just also the last one to indicate that in terms of the plan, we target to have the next CTT scheduled for November 2023. The date has not been confirmed yet, but we're targeting that before the end of the month, the CTT was set. I thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and I thank you for the opportunity to present. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mlambo. Can I check, DDG Gasa, if there's anything else you'd like to add before I hand over to Kurdis from Public Works?
No, thank you very much, Chair. We are mindful of time. We'd like to reiterate once more the opportunity to be able to present. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much to colleagues at DHET. I'd like to now hand over to colleagues at Public Works. I believe they are being led by the acting DG. Can I check who's leading the delegation?
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, you can hear me, Chairperson.
Where colleagues are working from, are you able to open the camera? It sounds like you're in a space where you're all there.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, over to you, colleagues. And please fly to the presentation as well.
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you very much. My name is Richard Cizani. I'm the acting DG of the Department of Public Works. The first thing I wanted to do, I'm sorry, Chairperson, that I interrupted you in the middle of the minister of the meeting. I was just panicking about the message. The minister is trying seriously to join in, but she is having connectivity things. But he said, I must assure the Chairperson, is going to try and join in. So we are led by the minister. I am accompanied by three directors general from the department. Ms. Nyeleti is over there, virtual. And here we also have Ms. Lupin, DDG for real estate. And we also have Ms. Memedi Masemula from ESA. For this program, we have a new project manager, Mr. Mulatelo Mahaswa. So Mr. Mahaswa is the one who's going to take the committee through the presentation. So we are present here. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Madam Chair. So Mr. Mahaswa now will do the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. The Honorable Minister in absentia, the Acting DG, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure,
structure, which I can only imagine was an outbuilding or outside.
The Senior President of the Department of Public Works, Chairperson, as the Acting DG has indicated, my name is Mulatelo Mwasa, and I will be taking you through the presentation. I don't know if you are able to see your presentation from your side, Chair.
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, as Acting DG has indicated, we are renewing our commitment to work with the Department of Higher Education and Training in order to give effect to the requests that are coming from the PSET. So they, I just wanted to indicate that spirit that we really want to ensure that we assist the department. So without any much further ado, my presentation will be predicated on the following. We will give you a little bit of background, the roles and responsibilities, the joint task team progress, and the portfolio committee has also requested the department to share on the digitization and modernization of the movable assets register. So we'll share that information. And then also we'll give a little update on the strategic infrastructure project number 34. Even though this presentation was made in March, we will just give, I'm not going to go through the entire slide, but just to give a very high highlight in terms of the progress, and then a recommendation. Honorable Chairperson and members, if I indicate that in terms of the purpose, we are looking at the purpose that I indicated to provide an update to the portfolio committee in terms of an update on the repurposing of underutilized public infrastructure for the post-school education and training, which is PSET system, which includes, in terms of the report from the portfolio committee, the breakdown on how much infrastructure the department has that can be repurposed for teaching and learning. And the other issue that the committee requested from the department was progress made by the joint DHET and BPWI task team on coordination of infrastructure needs for the PSET system. And lastly, as I indicated, is an update on the digitalization and modernization of the public asset management register. In terms of the background, and I'm happy that Mr. Mlambo has touched on the legislative framework, constitutional and legislative framework, because those are the similar legislative frameworks that we are predicating our presentation on. I'm not going to dwell much on that but I will just indicate on item number three. So Cabinet of the Republic of South Africa through the PICC has instructed both departments to identify movable state-owned properties and buildings that can be used to support the PSET institutions in the form of student housing and infrastructure requirements. Now, the two departments through the joint task team, and colleagues and honorable members will understand what I mean by that. So they will jointly engage on the other tiers of government, state departments and entities to unlock the unutilized suitable immovable assets for the PSET institutions. Now this relationship, as I indicated, is governed by the memorandum of agreement, or it will be governed by a memorandum of agreement. So you understand when I say will be, as I articulate further. And the terms of reference and the framework, which Mr. Mlambo has very well articulated, which will guide all stakeholders to ensure that prescripts of GIAMA, which is one of the pieces of legislation that gives the mandate to the Department of Public Works in terms of the management of immovable assets of the state. That's the GIAMA, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act, as well as other applicable legislation. And here we're looking at the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act of Act number 13 of 2050. So that's one of the very important pieces of legislation in terms of managing relationships between the three spheres of government and our public entities, and obviously other policies, regulations, and guidelines. So those are very, very critical in terms of us even making a determination of setting aside or releasing properties that will be earmarked to assist the DHS. We will be regulated by those pieces of legislation. So to date, the JCT has been established, including the working committee agreement as indicated above, are being finalized. And this part is very important, Honorable Chairperson, because as Mr. Mlambo has indicated, we have met in July. We agreed to really renew this commitment to, number one, finalize the updated memorandum of agreement, which will now be speaking in terms of our different mandates and the terms of reference that will regulate this joint task team. And also, the part of the framework was very, very critical because you will understand that the public works will also operate a property management trading entity, which really looks at sweating the assets and really utilizing the immovable state assets in the best possible manner. For the state. Now, in order to do that, we needed to have some kind of a framework which will regulate how do we dispose of these properties. Do we lease them out? Do we, sell them out? How do we transfer? So that framework was one of the very critical discussions between the two departments. And I'm happy to announce that finally we have come together and we have put those agreements, and they are under consideration by the department. Our legal services are vetting the agreement, and they will be going to our accounting officer for approval. And then, obviously, then we will then go ahead in terms of our relationship. But we are not just waiting for that process to be finalized. I think that's very important. As the agreements are en route to the accounting officer, we have agreed that in the meantime, we can receive the detailed list, because the list that was shared with the portfolio committee in March was a summary. So it was important for us to know the property information so that we can engage public works, our regional offices, including other organs of state. Now, in terms of roles and responsibilities, I think Mr. Mlambo has articulated that very well. I'm not going to go through this. Same just the one on item number six, because that is very critical and it aligns very well with our responsibilities and expectations in terms of the IDR Framework Act. It says there that DPWI shall engage with relevant stakeholders, as provincial, local governments, as well as entities, to identify and facilitate the acquisition of suitable immovable assets for the PSET institution. Now, the criticality of this, Honorable Chairperson, is that as we receive this list, when we look at it, we find that we're talking about schools, for instance, and schools are not falling under the mandate of public recognition. They fall under the provincial, our provincial sphere. So it means we need to engage with them using the IDR framework. The same with those that are belonging to municipalities, because of the constitution that gives them that ownership responsibility. It's important that we develop a governance framework so that we can engage them. So even though this responsibility has been given to public works to coordinate that, it's important that we know that it's not a simple task. It's a very, very intricate task, because we have to engage those spheres of government, and they must indicate whether they are going to use that property or not. So we will have this as public works to engage. Just the next slide in terms of progress made so far. As I indicated, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the interdepartmental MOA has been drafted and is under consideration. The joint task team of officials have been appointed. We've got the acting DDG PMO, who is leading from the Department of Public Works in terms of project sponsorship. And I've been appointed as the project manager. And the same from the DHET, we have the DDG leading, and then the chief director, if I'm number, also leading the working committee that side. So the terms of reference have also been developed. They have been sent to public works. We have rooted that to our legal services to vet, and then it will go to our accounting officer for final approval. We are really contemplating that this process will be expedited, so that at least come next month or maybe December, we can actually start working around these issues, but knowing that the agreements have been signed. The high-level framework, I've spoken to it, let me not repeat that. And then the norms and standards have been agreed to, they are being considered as well, but this will be coming from DHET in terms of the distance of the identified properties and the institutions. There's a 20-kilometer radius, that's an example there. But I think this is very important. The item number 5 will most probably speak to what the DDG has indicated when she was through. Oh yes, just an error there, we apologize. Item number 5, it says the schedule of properties have been submitted by DS in August 2018. That is actually 2023. Apology for that. So this is the list. We have received list of 83 unused properties. That is schools. So in all the provinces, in terms of the list that we have received, it's all schools that are unutilized. So and those are the provinces they come from. So it's 12 for Free State, 21 for Eastern Cape, 50 for Limpopo. And this is in line with what Mr. Mnangagwa has presented. And we also received another list comprising 143 properties which are belonging to the three spheres of government, and others are unknown, which means that public works must still establish who the owner of those properties are. And we are able to do that by means of engagement with rural development through the peace forces. So we can do that. And so the third one is a list of 11 properties in Gauteng in particular, and that's the Swanee University of Technology currently utilizing, and seeks the government to donate to enter into a 9-year lease, rent-free lease. So those are the considerations that we have to look into as public works and to say, are we able to do that? And then what are the parameters in terms of doing that? I think number six is just indicating that we are now recommitting that we will go ahead and work very well. And then in March, there was a presentation of two properties that we identified in Mpumalanga and Western Cape. And the update we have received there is that for Gerbswande, for instance, a new formal request for the donation in relation to the exact proposed development is required. And the previous approval was at market value. Hence, we need a new request. But this will also fall within the inventory, if you like, of what will be discussed in the ACT, including the North Link. The DPW received the development plan for expansion to quantify the extent and the size of the requirements and in process to engage DOD, Department of Defense, accordingly for a consideration for a longer term lease of a subdivision of the extent of the requirement for this property, which is in the military base. So that's one of the difficulties. Now you've identified this property is within a military base, meaning that public goods must engage with DOD to see if we can use that property for student accommodation. Just in terms of digitization and modernization, very quickly then, a software has been developed and the mobile application for data collection, which includes a geographical spatial representation of the assets on the ground. And the software tool, Honorable Chairperson, and mobile solution are being used to verify land, buildings, significant components and infrastructure assets since 2018. So GIS software tool and the mobile solution were updated just last year, and upgraded just last year. But in terms of the long-term view, the integration of these GIS and the mobile solution will be interfaced or integrated with our Archibus system, which is a repository of our renewable assets, the DEED, which is our house and the rural development, and the Surveyor General Database and the CAT technology. These are providing specially enhanced movable asset information that informs the integrated planning and coordination. The development and maintenance of the single repository of all state properties and expropriation register in order to provide support to ESA and the land reform program of the state, and I dare say the student accommodation as well, will be very critical. So this is very, very important, item number four. We seek to develop a single repository of all state properties because as it is currently, ownership and transferability of all the renewable properties is within the three spheres of government, including our state entities. This is just a sort of a workflow. I'm not going to take you through that. I think members have seen that. This is just a graphical representation, the GIS representation. This is the digitized immovable assets register that allows us to visually locate the assets and present them spatially for various purposes. So we are just showing you the capability of the system that we have put together. This is just another one, FMPD, the Western region. We digitized the IAR, which we use to identify the state-owned land in KZN province to assist with the relocation of residents who were affected by the floods. So it also shows you how effective and efficient this GIS and mobile solution is in terms of the future Honorable Chairperson. Now, the last slide, like I indicated, I'm not going to go through this because this was what was presented in March. But just a very high level, if you recall, Honorable Chairperson, we are looking at 300,000 beds in terms of the NDP goals and public works in terms of this high-level project, the strategic infrastructure project number 34. We'll be looking at that, and we have broken down those beds in terms of provinces and in terms of phases. So, for instance, the Northwest University, you will see that all 1728 beds have been completed, so the work has been But in most of the things there, progress has been very slow. And my colleague, Ms. Mamesi, will speak to the reason for that slow progress. The Nelson Mandela University, for instance, you'll see that all 2,000 beds have been completed as well. And yes, that is, I think, I will stop at this. And I don't know if, I'll stop at that, Chairperson. So in terms of recommendations, we are recommending that the portfolio committee note the progress made and the update on the digitalization and modernization of the asset register and the progress on SIP 84, albeit very slow. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mukwasa. Can I check, attendees, is there anything you'd like to say before I hand over to members?
No. We are ready to take the questions, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, colleagues, for both your presentations. I would like to note hands of members that would like to engage on the presentation. I see Honorable Play, Honorable Manaliso. All right, those are the hands I see up at the moment. On my side, when we're dealing with a matter like this, you sort of want to say, you really want us to you want it to be very obvious what work we've been able to achieve in the past year, because you know when we met at the beginning of this year, and we believe that we've given colleagues time, you know, to get through quite a, well, hopefully we would have hoped that colleagues would have gotten through a lot. But maybe let me find out on our progress on specific matters. So there were concerns around infrastructure that Gert Sibande TVET College had requested, as well as Northlink TVET College. And I'd like to find out from colleagues at DHET and DPW if there has been progress in terms of the transfer of those properties, and maybe to just elaborate more in relation to Gert Sibande, DPW in our previous meeting reported receiving a request in September 2014 for disposal from DHET for some land in Standerton on behalf of Gert Sibande TVET College. The property was recommended for disposal in October 2015. However, Public Works has been awaiting outstanding documentation from DHET since. With the last engagement in July 2021 between the department and DHET regarding this matter, DDG Zungu indicated that he had engaged Gert Sibande College, and there was feedback that there were outstanding documents from their lawyers regarding the Government Gazette, and a submission was made to the college and will be submitted to Public Works before the 10th of March. And that is what was reported to us earlier on in the year. So what we'd like to find out from DHET is whether or not the college has submitted those outstanding documents to Public Works, and where is this matter now? Because you see, there are parts where, you know, it's very clear that perhaps Public Works has not come back to us as the head in relation to particular requests. But there's also a role we need to play as the head in, you know, really cooperating in terms of information that they need. And this was also stressed immensely in our previous meeting, that the
coordination and synergy between the two departments is going to be crucial in order for us to really see some of this infrastructure now being repurposed. And that is what those issues are, the type of issues we were hoping that the joint task team would be able to address. So where are we in relation to Gert Sibande? And then one would also like an update in relation to the CET colleges. When DDG Fuchane presented to us in March earlier this year, there were like 20 buildings that were requested in the Eastern Cape that had not been responded to, 12 in the Free State that had not been responded to, 22 in Gauteng that had not been responded to, 40 in KZN, 143 in Limpopo, 7 in the Northern Cape. In Mpumalanga, 3 were accepted and 1 was still being processed. So we'd like to find out where we are in terms of those buildings that DHET had requested. And then we're going to be building 2 new universities in Gauteng. And it would be interesting to hear how our thinking is and what our planning is around repurposing infrastructure to support the building of these two new universities. And then in relation to the CET colleges, we do note that on slide 14, colleagues have to some extent given us an update of properties identified for use by CET. And of course, the slide also indicates that list is not exhaustive. But you see, we want to correlate information that the department previously gave to us and what is now being presented to us so that we are able to see what progress is being made. So, and it's, I think, colleagues, also very important that when we speak about the work that we're doing, that we indicate timeframes that we are setting for ourselves, you know, like as a joint task team, what are the timeframes that you're setting for yourselves? I mean, from a DHET perspective, we need to bring along our colleagues in public works to understand our enrollment plans and the pressures we currently face in this year with the numbers that we currently have, and then correlate that to the numbers we're bound to have as we try and the numbers increase through our enrollment plan and the infrastructure that's been needed to accommodate that. So that there's no, you know, I mean, let's take TVET colleges, for example. We know that the registration or the applications by young people for TVET colleges is booming, you know, and that's because of the work that the department and, the deputy minister have all been doing to make TVET colleges fashionable. And so us being able to repurpose infrastructure is a matter of urgency. You know, we know, for example, that in the TVET program, they are now having to use afternoon sessions as an intervention to deal with the many numbers and the lack of infrastructure. So we need to push for repurposing of infrastructure against the urgency that in the demand that is coming into our sector has, right? So that's just, I think that I'm going to leave it at that for now. And if there's anything that my colleagues don't cover, I'll come back later. Can we stop sharing the slide? I think I can do that on my side as well. Okay, I don't have hosting rights. So I can't do that on my side, but colleagues can stop sharing on their side. Anele, can you stop sharing the screen on for colleagues?
or provide me with hosting rights so that I can stop sharing the screen. Okay, there we go. Thank you so much. Honorable Pele, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Mananiso. Honorable Pele.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And Chair, let me greet all honorable members and colleagues on the platform. I also want to note the presentation that we have just received and the status update. Chair, I must say concerned that the slow implementation of the of SHIP may actually impact government's targets of providing 300,000 beds by 2030 for the PSET system. And I have the following questions. In respect of UJ and UKZN, the status indicates that they will not be proceeding. What is then the next step or alternative, seeing as they had quite a substantial number of beds that was envisaged to accommodate that? Then there are statuses that indicate project approval or execution, or project approval for execution. And I just want to know what is the next step and what are the timelines and the project plan in respect of how that is going to move forward. Then, Chairperson, there are 4 months left before the end of the financial year. And I just want to know, has the department, the CEC branch, working with DPW, have they secured land or existing buildings for the remodeling of the 3 new community learning centers that were planned for 2023-24 financial year in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape? And if so, what progress has been made towards the construction of these 3 community learning centers? Which companies have been awarded tenders, and what are the timeframes for completing and handing over the completed projects? What percentage of the allocated infrastructure development grants for the 3 CLCs have been spent to date? And if none of the above has been achieved, why and what mitigation strategies have been implemented to address the challenges? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Pele. Mam Sibiya.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. Thanks for both presentations. And with first presentation, the department is engaging with the Provincial Department of Education to identify closed schools for possible use. Does it mean those schools will be ready by January 2024? Because they are in negotiations, how long would those negotiations take place? And the other one, with regards to finalization of the framework, finalization of the framework as well as the finalization of the MOA, the department is reviewing the documents. For how long are those documents be reviewed? Ngoba says December March. Those negotiations be ready as from January 2024. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mam Sibiya. Honorable Mananiso.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming both presentation, Chair, in terms of the updates and the work that has been done. Chair, I think on other issues, I'm covered by yourself, Honorable Pele and Mam Sibiya. But for DHET, I just want to check on their slide 11. They've indicated on the issue of the workstream meetings that are taking place monthly. So I want to check with their plans, have all these meetings taking place monthly? If not, why? The other issue that I want to check on both departments is with regards to contractual matters. Do they have a focal person who deals with legalities with regards to all these MOUs and everything that has to do with regulations? And if not, I just want to suggest that they need a person who is legally funded or a judge from our judiciary institutions. so that at least this process cannot be hindered by anything that is illegal. And the other thing with the head slide 15, there's an indication on their conclusion that they are anticipating to host the JTT meeting on November 2023. Can they just give us a specific date with regards to that? Because from my side, I think that they have just written November on the basis that they are here for this particular meeting. So I want to say to them, they must give us a specific date because of this is what they are saying, that it's a scheduled meeting. So a scheduled meeting from my side needs to have a specific date. And I want to check as well on both entities if they have included the DDM champions with regards to other issues that would be part of this whole process. And if not, can they just make sure that they include the DDM champions? Because on their presentation, they are clear on the involvement of provinces and local municipalities. So I think the DDM it doesn't reflect. And Chairperson, on the issue of, I think one acknowledges the point that Department of Public Works is acknowledging that there's a slow pace. However, I think one must raise a concern with regards to this slow pace, because this slow pace actually shows that there's no agility in terms of ensuring that we deal with this issue as matters of agents. And we know that these issues of infrastructure and the programs at hand with regards to student accommodation is one of the things that it's one of the national crises in South Africa. So I think for next time when we meet, we could have dealt with these slow cases. While I'm interested to get sense in terms of what could have delayed them in all these processes. And Chair, I must say in this particular platform that I'm very impressed by the consistency and the commitment of the Minister of Public Works. That's it from myself, Chairperson, and thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Madanisa. Thank you, Honourable Members. Kalisa, also, Kalisa can help me. So, you know, in the previous meeting, when we met, it was not a very pleasant meeting. I think we were very frustrated, you know, with the inability. It almost seemed like there was an inability for colleagues to understand what we are requesting. And the issue around the joint task team was raised as a response from one of the colleagues, either from DHET or Public Works, saying, you know, maybe the solution to what we are calling for is for us to have to resuscitate the JTT. But when we look at the way we are presenting this notion of the task team, I mean, I'm looking at slide 12 of it, of DHET's presentation. I'm looking at slide 4 of Public Works presentation, and colleagues can help me, you know. When was the joint task team start? Like, it makes it sound as though the joint task team is something that's new. But in the meeting that we had in March, it sounded like the joint task team was something that had been initiated, but, you know, became dormant and needed to be resuscitated. Because I am not comfortable with a comment that says the DP, let's say Public Works is reviewing the document. When was the document shared with Public Works? For how long has Public Works been reviewing the document? So that we understand if colleagues are, if we are making progress or not, you know? Because here we sit thinking that the call for repurposing of state infrastructure is an intervention that could possibly come about that can assist the sector going into next year. These are things we say. We say as a committee, we're calling for this, and, you know, we've been told that colleagues are working on it. You know, we can't say that to citizens. We can't say you're working on it and then iphelela lapho. We need to be able to give time frames
that they're hoping that by, you know, such and such a date, actually, there'll be 5 more buildings made available in Limpopo for CET colleges or for TVET colleges. That inspires confidence and hope to citizens who are frustrated, to young people who are not in employment, education, or training because we don't have enough space. So we can't have public officers reviewing the document. For how long have they been reviewing the document? When did USD head send those documents to them? Those are the kind of updates that we need, colleagues. Because I'm confused, Didi Chikasa, Mr. Mlambo, acting DG of Public Works. I'm confused. We sound like we're speaking about a new intervention, but when colleagues had shared this with us in March, it made it sound as though it's something that that existed and just needed resuscitation. So maybe if you give us, you know, the dates, we will be able to contextualize the work that is being done. So I'm not sold that we have done the most that we could have done within the time frame that we're working within. And then I just want to indicate to colleagues that I think I had missed the slide that gave an update on public on Gertsebande and North Link. So on North Link, I think I'm clear, but maybe colleagues can still just make me understand what exactly is happening at Gertsebande. I think that's fine for now. Colleagues can respond, and then if there's anything that has been left out, we will come back. So let me hand over to Didi Chikasa and Mr. Mlambo, and then I'll hand over to Public Works.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. With your permission, Chair, let me ask Mr. Mlambo to respond to the following questions. The Gertsebande North Link, the CET, the UJKZN, and the JPWJTT recently, and I will respond to earlier and any other questions that he might not have responded to. I would like, with your permission, Chair, to recognize Dr. Martha Sotsiga. She is in the meeting. DDG, if you would like to respond to the phased approach regarding the university's program and the extent to which we are exploring options towards the realization of the universities. I am not noting DDG Futshane in the meeting, Chair. And I'm also not noting DDG Zungu, as indicated up front, Deputy Minister and DG are all in the research colloquium for making TVET colleges institutions of choice at Premier Hotel OR Tambo. And so, as I've indicated, please, if Mr. Mlambo could start, Dr. Sotsiga, and then acting CFO Kenz, a very briefly, colleagues, and then I will speak last with your permission, Chair. Over to you, Mr. Mlambo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DDG, and thank you, Honorable Chair. Just going through the questions, the issue of Gertsebande, accept that this one is blindsided as Honorable Chair on the alienation. We were dealing with the acquisition for purposes of student accommodation. And if I could be allowed then to update the committee on this one, in writing, because I really don't have the latest information, but I just want to say that what we've been dealing with on Health Monday was the acquisition of additional site for the construction of the of student accommodation at the college. And then going to CET and the list that was shared, raised by Honorable Chair. I think the what we've tried to do in the March meeting, we had a summary of numbers for each of the CET provinces, colleges in provinces, indicating how many of how many have been requested, how many have been shared. What we sought to finalize is the which of the actual the schedule of all the summaries that were indicated in March. We have received, as indicated in the presentations, the actual list of each one. Some we have not received, and continue to pursue the principals to actually give us the list, so that when we engage, as we are engaging with public works, we're talking specific sites instead of looking at a higher level. So that is the status that we've got these four now, and we continue to engage them to give us the list. But the list that we have indicates that the ones that are not resolved as yet. So we maybe need to move backwards and say which one has been resolved, so that there can be an indication of progress. There was an issue also of the new universities and whether we are looking at the issue of replacement of current buildings. Yes, the issue is on the table. On this one, we're hoping when we get the schedule of sites that are, of properties that are redundant around the identified site, because there is a core site that has been identified in Ekurhuleni, for example, that we are looking at, and therefore anything else around there would be considered for being part of Ekurhuleni in particular. But for Hammanskraal, we are repurposing the existing police academy in inverted commas that is already been. That's what the focus is, repurposing on that facility and rehabilitating it so that it can house the university on crime detection and policing. And then on the issue of JGT, Honorable Chair, I think we agree that the JGT had been proposed prior to 2024. Unfortunately, at this moment, I might not be able to actually get the exact date because I only joined later. But having understood that it has been proposed before or started before, but then sort of fell into some lull with time, we then committed to reviving it as after the March meeting, which I think has happened, not to the pace that we would have preferred, but the issue of committing to specific dates, as I indicated, considering that the DDGs are part of the JGT, and making sure that all are available at the same time has created a bit of a challenge. But yes, it was proposed some time ago, but only this year we made progress in trying to make sure that we make it sit and progress on it. Honorable Pillay, on the issue of UJ and KZN. Yes, I think the important thing is UJ has indicated that they would like to suspend the issue of student accommodation because they feel there is adequate beds around the university, both private and institutional, and therefore they've requested that we hold back on their proposal. UKZN, no, they have not removed themselves from the program. They have only requested that based on their ability to raise funds in the open market. Honorable members would know that in terms of the SHIP program, there is blended finance, and then one portion is budget facility for infrastructure, which we applied for at National Treasury. One is contribution by DHET, and then one is the contribution by the university itself. They have not been able to leverage funding for themselves because of their internal challenges, and therefore have requested that they use whatever has been allocated in BFI and DHET to proceed with the 1,650 beds instead of the original 2,000. We agree that it interferes with the planning and targeting, unfortunately, because we have put this as part of our targets going forward. But I think it's some of the challenges that we deal with as we plan and implement the program. Then the other one, in terms of how do we then move on to make sure that we deliver, I think there is another leg over and above the SHIP program that talks to universities embarking on a lease to own processes. And we have received some of these, and we are encouraging them so that we are able also to address the issues of targets. So University of DUT in particular has come up with a lease to own for 9,000 beds, and UCT has come up with their own for 4,000 we are currently considering these two. I think the one for DUT has been evaluated by National Treasury, and they've given it a thumbs up. We're just going through the process of having it approved internally so that in the shortest possible time, we can have those 9,000 beds being added into the number of beds that we have. And then the other one from Honorable Pele talks to the three sites that we are targeting to complete in terms of CET. Yes, the program maybe did not start as fast as we would have wished, but we are at a point now for the three sites, the department has appointed the consultants for the three sites, and the consultants have started work on concept designs. And we are targeting that the concept designs will be submitted latest 14 December 2023, so that we go into the next financial year going into detailed designs and tender for the three sites. So that is where we are. I think the issue of the three sites, as I've indicated, one is Northern Cape, it's Western Cape and Gauteng. And Northern Cape, that's where we have had a good relationship with the Provincial Department of Public Works, who has given us a site and a building that was a previous nephew's home, which we are also repurposing and then building the rest of the college on the premises of that facility. Honorable Sibiya, the issue of closed schools and how long will it take? Yes, I think the issue of closed schools we have shared in particular with KZN, all closed schools which they have declared to the Provincial Department of Public Works as redundant. We at the moment are finalizing the issue of identifying those that can be of use to us as the department. And depending, of course, on the condition of those schools, some of them are in good conditions and some of them might need to be rehabilitated. I think the issue of how long it will take, I think by the end of this financial year, we should have arrived at a point where we, on our side, have identified those which we wish to use and started a process of seeing whether they need rehabilitation or not. Honorable Mamani, the work stream, you indicate, the honorable member requests that we indicate whether the meetings have taken place. I can indicate that they have not set it monthly as targeted. I think the last meeting that was set was in August this year. And again, I think the issue of having all colleagues together at one point has been a challenge. I must be honest. But we continue to find suitable dates for this and make sure. But outside the meetings, we also share the documents so that we are not hamstrung by the actual meeting and make sure that the work continues even outside the meeting. The issue of a legal person, within the department, we use our general legal services to process the documents. We have not, we're no focal person that does it. It's the whole chief directorate that we use. Yes, the JGT is targeted. The JGT is supposed to meet on a quarterly basis, and it met in July, and then the next 3 months is ending at the end of this academic year on the 14th of December, and the target is that we should meet on November. We're still trying to get suitable dates for the colleagues so that we make sure that we meet. And I'm sure after this engagement, we will be spared and encouraged to meet as quickly as possible. I think I have looked at all of them, unless I'm advised otherwise. I think I have looked at all the questions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mlambo. Through you, Chair, Acting CFO, would you like to add a word or two? Mr. Kearns?
Thanks. Sorry, I was just battling with my to unmute. But thanks, Chair. No, nothing additional from my side. I think Mr. Mlambo covered the areas, I think, the questions that were raised in particular.
Thank you very much. Through you, Chair, Didi Jisotsikwa, would you like to add a point or two?
Good morning to all the members. No, Didi, I'm fine. I think Mr. Mlambo covered all the universities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would just like to raise 5 points very succinctly, because I believe we're running out of time and Mr. Mlambo covered most. Firstly, Chair, thank you very much to honorable members for the guidance and the engagement that they've given us. The first point, Chair, that I would like to raise is with appreciation from you, the point that you raised in concern around what is quite clear and obvious around the fact that as ourselves and DHET and DPWI, it is almost a year, as you've indicated, and it is clear that whilst we have met before and this felt dormant at some point and was resuscitated, we have not made the progress that is optimal as we could have made it. We take note of that, Chair, and we do need to make sure that we accelerate to the desirable point. With humility, Chair, I would like to raise the point that maybe the impact of that would be an instant whereby when we table or we come to the portfolio committee, Chair, we table a joint presentation whereby we do speak to the points in a manner that clarifies that, as the Chair indicated, we clarify instances whereby it's clear that there's certain information that we could have given each other, and we enable information and coordination and synergy. Because as P said, in delivering our mandates, it is about ensuring that the PSAT system functions and infrastructure is a key issue in that regard. Throughout universities, the TVET colleges, the CET, student accommodation, and the two universities that are being built, Chair. And I would like to believe that for public works too, that is a matter that we would need to address. And a second point that I would like to raise is the extent to which student accommodation takes center stage because of the frustration that was raised, for example, by Honorable Pile and yourself, Chair, and the extent to which we really move with speed in that regard and we ensure that as the two key departments in delivering across the intergovernmental space, we come to the portfolio committee clear around how we're engaging both universities and TVET colleges, and we indicate traction. This program has faced delays. Universities are also battling in that regard. TVET colleges are battling, but in the numbers across the different phases, we have to table consistent numbers as both Public Works and DHET, and the numbers at this stage are unfortunately not, what's the word I'm looking for? There isn't concurrence, but in writing to you portfolio committee members, we will ensure within 7 days that we table the correct numbers as we have it as DHET. The third point that I would like to raise is confirm fully the point that Mr. Mlambo raised around the CET request and how we correlate accordingly across the three provinces. But if I heard the chair correctly, the request that was being made is how we align the numbers across the 20 that was given, the X number that was given, and in writing, we commit to ensuring that we balance the numbers of March and as we currently sit now in November, and we make sure that we sync those properly. And then the fourth point that I would like to raise is the point around ensuring that the infrastructure program links properly or highlights the link with DDM champions. Maybe we did not highlight that properly, but for DHET and where we stand and working with DPWI going forward and DSI, specifically, I would just like to highlight programs that are being driven by our minister and deputy minister as our DDM champions. It's in the Imbali precinct program. It's in the Giani program. It's in the Ulundi program. And it's also in the new universities program. The intention of the program that we play is in looking at education and science and innovation hubs going forward. But we take the guidance moving forward of ensuring that when we table infrastructure and the reutilization programs going forward, we should lift that up accordingly. And then lastly is the matter of ensuring that we do not talk about infrastructure and reviews and reviews that keep being extended endlessly, and we keep talking about reviews and we do not highlight properly the legalities of it, the contractual points of it, and we take note of that. But I believe Mr. Mlambo has indicated the legal resource that we have, and I believe Public Works will do so properly. Let me stop the chair and appreciate this first round of response and appreciation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, DJ Gasa. Advocate Susan.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. My team is ready with some of the answers. I know they are not complete, some of them. We would ask an opportunity to answer them in writing, those we can't answer today. But we'll really try our best to answer. You can start, sir. You can start.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think most of the questions have been responded to by DHET, but maybe just to underscore some of the responses, and maybe starting with the first one from the chairperson, from the chairperson around health wellness. Mr. Mnangu has indicated, you would recall when I was doing the presentation, Honorable colleagues said that there is information that we require as public bodies in order to be able to move forward in assisting the head. And I think it's clear from the response that there's some information that the head will be soliciting from health department, and they will be responding in writing. So maybe we'll leave that part which has been responded to. On the CEC qualities, Honorable Chairperson, yes, you are correct. There was a number that was presented in March, but like I also indicated, that number was a summary. And for us to be able to take any information forward, we need details. So, for instance, if we are given a summary that says 10 CEC qualities have invested infrastructure in the state, and 10 in Limpopo, 20 in Gauteng, that information obviously needs detail for us to be able to process. And I think we have sufficiently responded to that in the sense that they have indicated that they provided public works around August what they could get from those CET colleges. So meaning that we may not be able to reconcile to the summary in March if that information is not forthcoming from the CET colleges themselves. But we are not stuck on this. What we receive as a department, we will begin to act upon that information. We are very much cognizant of the agency of this requirement of state student accommodation requirements. The Chairperson, you are very correct, and other honorable members around the presentation without time frames. And I'll say at some point I did expect that this question will definitely rise. I think really just to be from our side, I think I indicated on the issue of the MOA, the terms of reference. And I indicated that it's been under legal vetting. And I said that by end of this month, it should be done in terms of the MOA, signing of the MOA. But I said we are not stuck on this. Whilst the process is underway, we receive the information and we are processing it. I mean, it's like, if you say the appointment of members must be in writing, we are not going to wait for that. We are continuing the meantime while the process of actually issuing letters of appointment is underway. So we are not really hamstrung by that process. We are continuing, but we are hoping that that will be quick. And in terms of the time frames, the end of November, in terms of reference, the MOA, we should be completed from our side. Now, the other time frame is with regards to the actual information that we receive from the PSET. For instance, I have indicated that as public works, we are the middlemen, so to say, because as long as the properties do not belong to public works, then it means we must engage the other spheres of government. We normally do that through our technical middlemen or the other internal IGR governance structures that we have established, where we are able to engage with SALGA, for instance, and COPTA in terms of properties that are in the municipal space. And our provincial departments in terms of properties that are vested provincially. So we have this platform of governance structure where we engage with them. So we have received this list, for instance, in August. We are finalizing so that we can engage those structures or the provincial departments as well as municipalities in our upcoming technical meeting. So that will move, in our opinion, it will move very fast because we are going to have upon the agency of the matter, and we are hoping that they will also take that agency as possible. Unfortunately, because we are governed by the IGR structure, we can only engage, because the concurrent function, we can only underscore that point in that forum. But it's incumbent upon the HOD, the MECs, terms of slow implementation, yes. That's why we keep harping on the fact that we are re-energized, we are recommitting, we have put these structures. Well, now the project leader, the project manager, the team is there. We have brought in people that are responsible for infrastructure and asset register from our side. We've got the legal person who will be able to get anything legal. So we are ready to go in. So for us is to get the list and then deal with information that is within the purview of public works in terms of feasibility, because there needs to be feasibility that is in terms of viability of this property that we are handing over. We have those, unfortunately, we do have our own internal legal processes that are underscored by or predicated upon the disposal policies, for instance. So we are going to make sure that we go through those, but we'll do that with speed.
I think on the issue of I think the others are more from the DHEAD, which they have responded to. On the issue of the Westfield sitting monthly, I think that has also been responded to. We are sitting on a quarterly basis with the JTT, but as Westfield, because they are very technical, they are sitting on a monthly basis. So we have set in July, we have set in August as well, and we are going to be sitting before the end of this month. We are just looking for the date. Yes, there has been a month or so that we did not see because of difficulty in terms of getting everyone around the table. But like DS is indicating, that is not stopping us. If meeting is not taking place, information is shared and then we progress it. And then in terms of the focus person for legal, we are in the same space. We have a general legal person, chief directorate legal, so they do best information. So we don't have a specific legal person in our residence. There are capacity challenges there, but our legal person will definitely deal with these issues speedily. On the DGM champions, yes, indeed, we also have our minister and GM championing these DGMs. I'm just not sure which the colleagues will speak in terms of the actual areas where they are championing. But yes, you are correct, Honorable Manaliso. We will align this process with the DGM process. Luckily, in the department, we have got a governance structure called DGM and social facilitation. And it seeks to do exactly that all programs and all projects are aligned to the DGM. So we will do the same in terms of student accommodation and academic infrastructure. And then on the slides that are not talking to each other, slide 12 and the slide 4 of the DPW, I think it's around the issue of the numbers. I responded to it about the issue of summary versus the detail. And then we've tried as much as we can with the information we have received to actually put in our presentation, and it aligns with the detail. So if there's anything, it will be outside of the information that we have received. The last issue is on the issue of the JTT. I think maybe not to belabor the point. Indeed, it has been a oscillating stop-and-go kind of a pattern. We have acknowledged that, and we have agreed as a team that we now need to move with speed and engage. And I keep on saying we have recommitted in terms of that. So, Chairperson, you are correct. There has been some challenge in that regard, and we have acknowledged that, but we are definitely moving with speed. I think on the issue of schools, the closed schools, as I indicated, we have received a list of schools that have been or that are unutilized. It's a list received, which means it must be processed by the Department of Public Works through this governance structure that I spoke about. So if it's schools in Limpopo, it means we must have the provincial public works of Limpopo
will get hold of the provincial education, and then we will have to indicate whether those properties can be retail for student accommodation. So we have received that list, and the numbers have been shared with the committee. So the next thing is for us to have a project execution plan for each property, and then we will have to deal with all these projects based on that project execution plan. And then just in closing, so we've got MOA, we've got terms of reference, we've got the framework, and then there will be the PEP, which speaks to every project that we receive. And so we will then be putting this in some kind of a database where every time when we meet, we check the progress. And I also agree with, I don't know whether it was the DG from DHS, to say that perhaps we do need to have a joint presentation in our next meeting, so that we show that there's collaboration between ourselves. I think that's it from my side. I don't know if colleagues please disregard to everything.
Madam Chairperson, that is really our comprehensive response to this. I want to re-emphasize again that as a department, we accept that we have been slow on this, and there have been delays in this matter. But as Madam Chair can see, from the Minister and the Deputy Minister, and also from the Chief Directors, from the DDGs that are here, and the Chief Director, who is the Project Manager, we are fully behind this project, and will comply with everything that is required. And we are committed to working with the Department of Education, and everything will attend, and all the reports that are necessary to be given to the committee will be given. So I want the chairperson and the portfolio committee to be comfortable about that. Secondly, there will of course be a strong monitoring of this from the Office of the Director General to ensure that this thing happens. So we will monitor it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues. And you know, one does want to appreciate the reflections and the honesty that's coming through from from colleagues. But to be honest, it's one's confidence has not been inspired at all. It's not what we had hoped to see. I mean, we resolved in the previous meeting that we would meet in the next term, right? And because of all the commitments that the committee has, and colleagues are aware that the higher education and training portfolio is quite cumbersome in terms of the amount of work we have to do. And so we have been inundated with work. And so that is why we're actually only meeting with yourselves much later. But essentially, we feel like we aren't really seeing the progress. We are not seeing the progress that we want to be seeing. And we are not seeing this matter being treated with the urgency we believe it should be treated with. We are not seeing an appreciation of the notion of one government, because if there was that appreciation, then we would understand that it can't be that this portfolio committee harbors on the need for the CET program to have increased funding in order for it to, you know, meet its mandate. And part of that also includes infrastructure and so forth. And then we get that resource. I mean, I think we had about 1 billion rand that had been additionally allocated to the CET program, and, you know, which would essentially be spread over the next 3 years. And the program had hoped to build 4 centers with this budget. But if we aren't able to secure
land that has a particular infrastructure secure buildings that the branch can just, you know, seamlessly renovate and refurbish. We are essentially leaving ourselves in the same situation that we were in when additional funds for infrastructure were allocated to the TVET branch and we had to return them. We didn't use them. And that is why, for example, we brought in the intervention of assisting TVET colleges with capacity to project manage their infrastructure development projects and complete them, because we said we can't be asking for additional funds, then we get those funds and then we aren't able to use them because we are planning poorly. We cannot have a situation where the CET branch also finds itself under the same reality. We actually are going to look crazy as a sector. How labantu funa imali, sibaphi imali, abayisebenzisi kanjani? And it will be because we preach the district development model. We preach the district development model. Yet I on a day-to-day basis, sometimes siyayibaka colleagues. And really all it needs is concerted effort. It needs planning. It needs us to set aside time and to be intentional. Colleagues are saying that there's information that they at times need from colleges. So maybe DHET at a national level might not have that information. The very same information that public works also at a national level might not have. But we said the joint task team will assist us to troubleshoot those matters where a specific CET college can meet with the regional office coordinated by the more senior department, right? So that wherever the he said, she said come from, we are able to intervene and make sure that what is meant to be done is done. That is why we said we want to resuscitate the task team. We said it will assist us to coordinate our work better. That recommendation came from yourselves, colleagues. We didn't know about that task team as the committee. As both committees, because even public works was in that meeting. You, when after hearing our frustrations in our comments and, you know, you said, oh, you know what, actually, we have this task team, it has to be resuscitated. But you have not resuscitated it to the extent of which it can be impactful. So we are literally shooting ourselves in the foot, colleagues. And Mina, I'm personally just Not impressed. MAMCBA raises the issue around the schools that are not occupied due to the DBE rationalization policy processes. I'm hearing what colleagues are saying in terms of that. We are giving solutions. We are saying here is the solution. All we need from yourselves is to facilitate coordination as the task team. Mina, I think I would appreciate it. Maybe the presentations that you are giving us are not as clear as the conversations you are having. So maybe colleagues can share with us, maybe you felt it was too much information to put in a presentation, but look at slide 16. It says, DHET has identified properties that could be used by PSET institutions. Okay, which properties are those? Besides the ones that know the CET, they've, you know, told us which ones, and we haven't listed all of them, yet in the previous presentation we had listed all of them. Which other ones have we requested DHET? Tell us, show us which ones, and show us the state in terms of repurposing. Last time when you were here, you literally said, I mean, I'm just going to use the CET colleges as an example. You said CET College, Eastern Cape, number of buildings requested 20, responded to none have been responded to. You know, you can even give us that type of breakdown. It just shows that there really is a property that you've requested. Public Works and Infrastructure assists with ad hoc requests for resolving ownership issues. Okay, at least that one you've broken it down a bit for the TVET programs. And I agree with, I think it's DDG, maybe it was Sotikwa or it was GASA. Actually, no, it was GASA. And I think colleagues at Public Works also referred to it. It will be important that in the future you present to us a consolidated report, right? Because one literally has to hop from one presentation to the other to try and create a holistic understanding of what we are doing jointly as DHET and Public Works. The department is also engaging with Provincial Department of Education to identify closed schools. Where is that list? Where's the proof? Like, what? Give us a list. So you met on what date, and you engaged which province, and they said, and you asked for 10 schools, and then they said they can, like, 5. Like, you know? Yeah. So I just, like, from my side, I think colleagues can actually share more with us. More with us that can assist us in also communicating to citizens. I think colleagues must also appreciate that when you are vague towards us, we also can't tell citizens that what you're doing, you know. They'll ask, so what are they doing in terms of, and we won't be able to say, we won't be able to bring them into confidence that we are actively working as this government in ensuring that, you know, the issues around infrastructure are being addressed. And also, it will be important, and colleagues have acknowledged this, that, you know, we set timeframes that we can also hold you to account on. And there's also a suggestion that perhaps we need to find a way of interacting with colleagues on a quarterly basis, the same way we dealt with when we dealt with the certification backlog, and, you know, we were very consistent in terms of our interactions in that regard. Perhaps maybe not having actual meetings, but requesting an account, a quarterly account on this particular call for the repurposing of public infrastructure for teaching and learning. Yeah, but I want to appreciate the honesty, because I think colleagues are admitting that we have not done, you know, what we were supposed to do. There is a little bit of movement, but it does not meet the demand and the pressures that we have as both departments. I think colleagues are appreciating the importance of increased synergy and coordination. We will await the written responses, which you can't be blindsided, colleagues, when you are dealing with matters that I don't think that's a matter that you were blindsided on. And perhaps the lack of representation of some branches in this meeting is what is also prohibiting adequate responses from yourselves, because it's a collective effort and there are people who are not here who could be able to account on certain things. So maybe that's also not assisting us right now. But yeah, we will be requesting that the information that you've not been able to submit to us at this point in time, that you do so in writing, that you meet colleagues. You need to meet quarterly and be strategic. Call in the institutions. We gave this advice in March. Call in the institutions that have not given Public Works the information that they need, because they are the ones who also complain, and find a way of mediating between the he said, she said,
you know, and finding and troubleshooting where the bottleneck really is so that we can move, right? So call in the institutions that are having challenges. Call in the regions that can give direct responses. Find innovative and proactive ways of making sure that the meetings that you are having actually yield fruit, you know, and that it's not just a meeting for the sake of meeting. Also, can we please have an actual date for when the joint task team was initiated? Yeah, because, you know, I mean, on the presentation by Public Works, it says Cabinet of the Republic through the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee has instructed. When did they instruct that? Can we have dates around that so you can submit that in writing? Because we also need to understand from when this you know, joint task team was initiated to now, we need to be able to really, well, factually critique what this task team should have done by now. And of course, acknowledging the honesty by colleagues that we've not done what we're supposed to do. With that being said, I'd like to say thank you to yourselves, and we will await your written responses. And I think you can hear the frustration by ourselves. We had really thought that this is something that would yield fruit in terms of responding to the demand that is there. But I don't think we are doing what needs to be done in order for it to be impactful. So if colleagues can just reflect on that. And we will have to have quarterly engagements with yourselves, either in written format or in virtual meetings, to make sure that we achieve what we believe can be achieved through a more coordinated approach between these two departments. So with that being said, thank you so much to colleagues from DHET and Public Works. You are welcome to go. We as members of the committee will continue to adopt the minutes from a few days in this month. Thank you, colleagues from DHET and Public Works.
Thank you very much, Che. Thank you, Honourable
Member. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you,
colleagues. We may excuse ourselves. Thank you.
All right. Anela, can I check if we meet quorum?
Okay, Chair. I'll just check now.
I'm seeing 6 members.
Yeah, we should be fine, Chair.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I'm just opening the minutes on my side. Okay. So we have the minutes of the 1st of November, where we got a briefing by the Transport Education and Training Authority and the Manufacturing Engineering and Related Services, CETA. Can I please note, the minutes are 70 pages long. Can I please note members who would like to amend anything in those minutes? Okay, Honorable Mananiso.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. One thing that I've noted with the search of the minute of the 1st November 23, 5.2 of resolutions of Mercita. There's some spelling error there that Anele must just omit. And then on bulletin number 2 on the same 5.2, an update of audit action plan. So there's a error in terms of action. It's kept at education. So that's what I've just observed as one of the things that needs to be rectified. However, one moves for the adoption of the minutes as a translation. Thank you.
Uchaya usakhona.
Oh, namaste, but she doesn't say anything. Umyutile. Chairperson.
Oh, thank you. I was speaking to myself. I was speaking to myself. Thank you so much. thank you, Mom Sibiya.
Okay, I'm seconding, Ma. I'm seconding the meeting minutes with amendments.
Okay. Thank you so much. The minutes for the 1st of November have been adopted with the corrections made by Honorable Mananiso and have been seconded by Honorable Sibiya. And then I'll go to the minutes from the 3rd of November, where we interacted with the DSI on its decadal plan. Those minutes are 3 pages long. Can I please note members who would like to make any amendments? Adopt? No, okay, no amendments. Any members who would like to adopt the minutes? Thank you, Honorable Mananiso.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think the minutes of the 3rd of November are a reflection of the meeting, so I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Mananiso. Mam Sibiya?
And thanks, Chairperson. I'm seconding the adoption of the minutes. Thanks.
Okay, Siyabonga, those minutes have been adopted by Honorable Mananiso and seconded by Honorable Sibiya. And then the last set of minutes are from the 8th of November, when we were interacting with the University of Cape Town regarding its independent panel reports. Can I note a member who would like to make any amendments? Mam Sibiya, I'm not sure if it's the legacy hand or...
No, it's the legacy hand, Surma.
Okay. Honorable Pile.
Chairperson, no, I don't want to make any amendments. It is a true reflection, and I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes.
Okay. The minutes for the... what's the date? Oh, the 8th of November have been adopted by Honorable Pillay. Honorable Mananiso.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to second the minutes as adopted by Honorable Pillay. The true reflection of the meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Those minutes for the 8th of November have been adopted by Honorable Pele and supported and seconded by Honorable Mananiso. This brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much, members, for your participation in the meeting. And we'll see each other in the question and answer session this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Malbongwe.
Thank you, Chair.